Let's get fizzy pole, fizzy pole. I wanna get fizzy pole. Let's get a fizzy pole.
Welcome to Let's Get Fizzy Pole. I'm your host, Cassandra, and I'm here today with Dano.
Hey.
Today's topic is coming back to training after a break. So before we get into it, Dano, we met you a few weeks ago on the podcast. Let's find out a little bit more about you.
Okay. So I totally cannot remember what I said about myself in the last episode that I was on, but I am Dano. I am the studio manager at Physipole Studios Pakenham, as well as I teach a little bit at Fairfield and Carlton as their sort of sister studios. And I have been on and off pole and aerials for the last 8 years. And I say on and off basically because what we're going to talk about in today's thing, there's been injuries, I've been swapping between apparatuses. So, you know, when I say 8 years, it's more like 4 years of pole and 5 years of aerials, I guess, mixed in together. Outside of pole, most people would say I actually live at the studio, so my outside of pole time is very small. I do work full time, so that does take up a chunk of my time. And apart from that, I like to read. I'm very much into health and fitness. I'm trying to get all that back on track while we're in lockdown as one of my goals. And just trying to eat clean, live healthy, and breathe through it.
And just solve world peace while you're at it?
Why not?
You said that you don't know who you are at outside of pole, but I think you've got a lot there, juggling a lot. Well, just to introduce myself as well, for those who don't know me, there's probably lots of people listening who do. I'm Cassandra. I've been around Physipole for, well, let's use the term on and off again, for 10 years now, which is actually makes me feel super old. But also really privileged to have been part of Physipole for 10 years. I started in about August 2010 back at Ballarat Studio. It was their third term at the time. So it was back when it was one little studio with lights on the ground, none of this star roof or anything fancy these days.
Well, what, you've got five rooms, so like it's a massive
studio. Yeah, oh, that's just, it's gigantic now. It's gorgeous. But yeah, I started back with Christy as my teacher back in 2010. I did pole there at Ballarat up in basically through to the end of 2012. I'd had a few breaks because of injury and just busy with life and things like that and just not finding the time for pole. And then I pretty much took a very indefinite break until 2015. So that was about 2.5 years. And in August 2015, I started back at the Carlton studio when I had just moved to Melbourne myself. So it was like a bit of perfect timing and it was a bit of the universe talking to me to get back into pole. I had still been somewhat part of the community from a distance. My sister had actually started aerials at Ballarat in the time that I wasn't doing pole. So I had actually gone in to watch her competition, watch her compete when I found out that the studio at Carlton was opening. So, and then I have, apart from injury, and even then I'm still at the studio every day. I haven't stopped basically since for the last 5 years now. I'm mainly a pole student, static pole for anyone who knows me well. And I have actually done a bit of aerials, my lira, very on and off, but I have competed on aerials as well. So whenever I jump back on hoop, it's always been a big long break in between sessions, but I love it. So yeah, that's about me as a pole person, but I also do, like Dano, somehow fit everything in. I work full time, also always doing some sort of study. And when I'm not at work or studying or at pole, I like to torture myself by running or going to the gym. So yeah, that's a little bit of a long story about me, a little bit of a longer introduction for both of us, because I was saying to Dano before, I think our topic today of having breaks from pole, really, we have to remember that we, most of us aren't doing pole professionally and we do have lives outside of pole. And sometimes that's what causes us to have breaks in the first place. So let's just have a quick look at some of the reasons you might have a break from pole. What are some of the top ones you can think of, Dano, or some of the ones you've experienced? Maybe we'll start with.
Well, look, at the moment, we're all about the studio closures. Yes. So that is a big one for a lot of people. So having that forced time away from the studio, especially for students, more so instructors have a little bit more freedom given it's a place of work, but that's a massive one at the moment for everyone. Definitely. But also some of the big ones I've had swapping between apparatuses. I generally, when I'm competing, I will dedicate all of my training time to that one apparatus, which means I'm going for a month to 2 months of not training anything else. And so when I finish competing and I get back, that's a break and it's different muscles that you're using. And yes, it's still keeping up your fitness and you're still using your strength, but they are different, especially depending on the aerials that you're doing. It can be quite different from pole and spin and everything. So that's always been a big one for me. And then I focused quite a lot of my time doing doubles hoop. So that, again, in itself is very different from doing regular hoop lira, whatever you want to call it, because you are having to spend your time with someone else, you're having to coordinate your schedules, and that can be a nightmare, but it's still great fun. But also the skills that you're working on and how you do certain tricks are very different to if you're doing them on your own. So it does feel like a weird transition back to doing solo stuff as well.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought of that as one of the reasons for having a break, but I can definitely relate. I reckon after every Ignite season, because I don't tend to put some of the things like handsprings and that into my routines. And I've been training for so hard for so long, and then I go to a handspring and I'm like, oh, it feels like it's been 8 weeks or more. And sometimes it might be, especially if I know it's a move that might trigger a shoulder issue. I might have actually avoided some of the moves.
Yeah. And especially I find like when I'm competing, I'm so focused on how that combo is structured that when I try and do, it might be one of the tricks in that combo, but transition it to something else, my body just wants to go to that one combo, and doing anything else feels foreign. So it's, you know, they're not really breaks, but it's not training tricks and different ways of transitioning. You're doing the one thing the entire time for however long you're doing that comp prep training. So it kind of does feel like you're coming back to just training.
Yeah, for sure. One of the big ones, obviously, and I think we've both had this, is injuries. Injuries can set you out of the studio completely. It might just restrict your training. I know personally I've had shoulder issues for many years, but last couple of years particularly. So I had a rotator cuff strain last year that took me out of proper training for basically a whole term. And then just was starting to find my feet again when I had and that was a really funny phrase, I didn't mean it like that, but just starting to find my feet again when I had a stress fracture in my ankle from running outside of the studio, and that I was able to keep up some training, probably against my doctor's advice, but that took me out of pole. And actually the main thing for that was I had to stop teaching for a term as well, because I couldn't safely teach and couldn't safely spot. So they're probably my big two major injuries. What are the fun ones you've had, Dano?
I had an unfortunate fall at a photo shoot where I very badly, so my elbows hyperextend at the best of times. So I managed to completely jar and strain my elbow while it was in a hyperextended state. And that meant that I couldn't actually use my right hand, which is my dominant hand. I couldn't put pressure through my arm. I ended up having to change so many tricks. So now I handspring on my other side just because mentally I'm like, my elbow can't take it. Even though I know I can handspring on both sides, it's just my preferred side has now swapped, and that's how I ended up dealing with that injury. Is I swapped after taking time off, obviously. I end up swapping a few tricks around, so I do them on my other side, which gets very confusing when I try and put combos together, because now I'm like, crap, which side do I do this on? And other than that, I had an unfortunate back injury when doing some doubles training that the picture of the trick is very cool. I love the trick. However, you can hear the moment when my back cracked in the video. It doesn't sound pleasant, and nor was it pleasant.
Oh,
but
shivering, yes. Right now.
It did mean that I had to stop training a little bit and actually rest my back. Thankfully, I didn't fracture it, because that's what they were worried about. But still, to this day, like, I have a very natural flexi back, and it was disheartening, to say the least, of losing some of that flexibility through my back and having the confidence to start training it again comfortably.
Yeah, and your confidence can take a big hit, whether it's an injury from that you've been training on an apparatus, or whether it's something outside. Your confidence can take a really huge hit amongst all of it. One of the reasons I had, and I kind of briefly touched on it in my intro, was a break, was just because of work and the work commitments, life commitments, study. So at the time when I took a break from a pole, which ended up being 2.5 year break, was I was working full time in my first job out of university. I was studying for my postgraduate CPA program, because I forgot to mention I'm an accountant. So I was studying for that, and it was just really hard to juggle that life and, you know, family demands and things like that. So sometimes those type of commitments can just mean that, unfortunately, I think pole becomes pole, or other apparatus you're doing at the time, fizzy pole, doesn't become the main priority. And that's okay. That happens. And sometimes you need that break. And I think they're probably the big reasons. Have you had any other?
Well, not so much. The other one I sort of had is the post comp fatigue.
Ah, yes.
And I got caught up in this a lot last year, as it was my first year sort of teaching as well. So I couldn't just take time away from all the apparatuses and have like a week straight off. It was, I still had to teach my classes, which meant I was still doing things, but then I didn't want to train either. So in some ways I don't want to make it sound like I didn't want to teach, because I love teaching, but it wasn't helping with that mental burnout that I was experiencing, because I just wanted to have a week away from the studio and not think about pole and aerials, because I'd just come out of competing and I was doing pretty back-to-back comps. So I was on the verge of being burnt, and that sort of, it took me longer than normal to come back from it, just because I wasn't able to have a full week off. It probably took me a month or two to actually want to do my own personal training again.
Yeah.
Which then creates this cycle of having to then return back to your training and all that. But other ones that other people experience, you've got things like pregnancies and things like that. That ranges for people. So it depends on while you're pregnant, up to which stage you can actually keep training and what you can safely do while you're pregnant. And totally listen to your doctors for that one. Whatever they say goes
to
that one.
Actually, all injuries. Listen to your physio. Listen to the professionals.
As much as we like to say that, yes, we're fine, we can still do it, maybe listen to the experts.
Yes. Holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Holidays is a big one. So I'm not really someone who goes on big holidays, but sometimes the students will have a holiday, that, especially if they're going overseas, that will be 4-6 weeks off. And when you think about our terms being 8 weeks, you can lose basically a term because of holidays.
Really, just a Christmas break. Like, who doesn't feel like they're coming back for Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas break. Study trips too. I think a lot of your students will also be studying as well. Dano, I know we have quite a few at the Carlton Studio and especially Fairfield as well, who also studying university. And sometimes they'll take breaks because of their big exams coming up, but also overseas trips. Once again, some lucky people end up going on overseas trips, and they can last anywhere from 4 weeks to 6 months, and they may not always placement. Yes, that one is one. But this is where we say, luckily, we're Fizzypole. we at Carlton Studio, we often do get people coming into the studio for a few weeks because they're on placement. So that's good. If you can manage to still do your chosen apparatus while you're on placement. Illness is obviously another big one. So you can have a variety of illnesses that might set you back. And what Dano said about swapping apparatuses before.
And then just financial, like,
yeah,
you know, things happen in life, and sometimes, you know, you've got to prioritize where you're spending your money, or if you're saving for a house or anything like that, something unexpected pops up, different things like that. I know some of mine, like, I took some time off from doing classes, but I made sure that I was still doing practice times instead, as it was a little bit cheaper to do that. But I tried to make sure that I was dedicated in those practice sessions so I wasn't losing anything, but it just meant that I didn't have, you know, all my fam around me in the class.
Yeah.
Although you'd be surprised how many fam you get when you do practice time and you all come together and do the same classes.
I love practice sessions.
Yeah, practice sessions.
The other one I see a lot too is when people change jobs, and especially where they might have finished university and they move for their first jobs out of university. That's a big one that I know people have breaks from the studio for. So they might move to somewhere that, even if there is a studio nearby, they have to settle into work and a new town and everything first. So all sorts of reasons, and we probably could find many more. But before we kind of go into, I guess, what are Dano and my top tips to help you manage that break? And that's like, we're going to cover everything from before you take the break, if you know you're going to have one, while you're on the break, and then when you're coming, like that transition stage until you're kind of back to your full training load that you were previously. What is some of your big, got a couple of big don'ts that I want to preface this with, because, and one of mine is, don't be too hard on yourself. Whatever reason you've had a break. And we, you know, Dano and I have discussed quite a few of ours, and they're all okay. Like, whether it's that you've lost a bit of, that you've been overtraining for a while for a competition and you've lost a bit of motivation, whether it's financial, whether it's your injury, or whether, you know, you had illness, they're all okay. So don't feel bad for having a break if that's what you need. And we'll talk a few things shortly about like how to manage that if you do need to, but don't be hard on yourself getting back to pole, I think, or your apparatus. One of the things that can be really hard when you are getting back and then everything's a little bit struggling, you're kind of like, I wish I hadn't. So just, yeah, I guess that big don't be hard on it yourself, and don't compare. Especially one big thing I want to, I guess, warn people or something, as this is a really unique time with so many of our studios closed. We're going to be, when eventually we can get back into our studios, it's kind of one of those unique situations because we've all had a break, and that doesn't really happen. So one big thing will be to not compare yourself, compare your journey to anyone else's. So when you are coming back to studio, don't worry if, you know, Sally next to you can still aerial handspring and you can hardly straddle. That's okay.
We're going to see if it's important when you're not taking a break. And look, it's something that I struggle with continuously, is the not comparing myself to others and what they can and can't do, because there's so many factors of why you might not be able to do it. There's so many tricks that I physically cannot do, and that's just my body. But there's so many things that I can do that others may struggle with. And, you know, it's all about you in this situation. It's not about you versus everyone else. It is solely about you.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I guess just like amongst all the things, like when we're saying here are some of the things you can do to make the break a bit easier, to make transitioning back from a break a bit easier, just really be mindful of your self-talk at all stages, because, yeah, it affects us so much. Was there anything else that you were thinking?
So I'm going to preface this. Have goals, have expectations. Don't make them so unrealistic it's not funny. So don't have, you know, we're almost 6 months off really having proper classes and everything. Like, we sort of had the 2.5 weeks teaser.
Yeah, especially for us, Melbourne, because Dana and both are studios that are literally open for 2.5 weeks in the last six months.
So don't come back and try and smash out the hardest things you can possibly think of, because A, you're setting yourself up for possible, like, not being able to do it and making yourself feel bad about that. But also, you're really setting yourself up for injury. And that is what we 100%. Do not want. You don't want to have all this time off just to come back and get injured. So as much as I want to say have goals, like, that's a massive thing, and we will be talking about that later. Make sure that they're realistic and don't try and just jump back into everything and smash everything out to the point of you're actually doing more damage than good.
Yeah. And the same with that, I think I've seen it before a lot, and I've done it before, where as someone who will easily do 3-4 classes a night after working all day without a problem, you know what I mean? And it's just, that's just what I've done. I didn't start there. So depending on how long you break and what you've been doing and things like that, I sometimes see people who jump back in and then they sign up for 3-4 classes straight away. Guaranteed 2 or 3 weeks into it, they're burnt out.
Yeah.
And because
injury, like, that's an easy way to re-injure yourself.
Yeah. So I've got a really good tip on that, which I'll make sure that we chat about. So amongst all of this, though, that doesn't mean that you still can't attend the studio. There's lots of really clever ways that you can still attend your classes, be part of your physio fam and all of that. But it might just might be about, like, swapping how you're training. But the other thing I'd probably say, which is more of a positive, is when you've had this break for whatever reason, really focus on the positives. So every single time I've had to have a break, I've come back physically stronger, mentally stronger, more appreciative of pole, more appreciative of my physio fam. There's always something I'm actually more grateful for. For example, actually the first lockdown was a good example for me, because I'd had this shoulder issue on and off for such a long time, and I'd just been managing it. There'd be some days I could hardly straddle. I'd be in pain teaching, but I was just doing it anyway. And when we had this studio shut down, and I was lucky enough to have a pole at home, I still hardly touched the pole for quite a few weeks, because I went, okay, I'm going to use this time to get this injury sorted. So it was kind of a half forced injury, studio shut down, but it came back, and it meant that I came back stronger because of it. So sometimes, yeah, and my shoulder's been fantastic for the last few months, better than it's been for the last few years. So sometimes we need that break. Sometimes that break is really important. Yeah, so just amongst all of it, just look for the positives. So I guess we probably should move on to our top tips rather than just talk about what not to do, because I think a lot of our tips are how to combat that what not to do things as well. So my first one, and this probably comes from being an instructor for the last few years, is talk to your instructor. Please communicate with us whether you're about to go on a break, and if it's financial, don't be worried. I know sometimes I have my students come to me and they're like, they're really timidly say, look, they've got financial issues. Talk to us before, like, talk to us as early as possible. We all understand. We might be able to help you work out some strategies so that you can stay at the studio. you know, talk to your studio owner about payment plans, different options and things like that to help you manage that. You know, so we might be able to prevent you needing to take a break, but whether it's injury, pregnancy, obviously tell us as instructors, if you're pregnant, please, 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 we need to know.
Please tell us.
Fair, but tell us if you're injured. Yeah. Tell us as soon as possible for starts. Okay. From the second you know that you might need a break, tell us. Keeping communication with us throughout. We will do everything in our power to help you stay as part of the class. And that might mean if you do have an injury, which means you can only do summer pole, you can still come to class. You don't have to just stop coming. But yeah, so whether it's before you take a break, while you're taking a break, keep in contact with us, still come to the studio for certain classes. You know, if you can still come to a stretch class, come to a stretch class, keep involved, which is one of the ones I'll probably talk about later, but keep in touch with your instructor. And, but more important when you do come back from a break. And as I kind of said before, this is a bit of an unusual situation where we'll be facing once we get back into the studio, that everyone's kind of in the same boat. So the instructors are hyper aware that we need to take things slow, but it's really up to you to tell your instructor how your body is feeling. We can't feel how your body is feeling. So yeah, just talk to your instructor, communicate with us, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I love doing when I've had a break and, you know, I've got that new motivation to get back into my training session, I love actually sitting down, doing a private with an instructor and setting out a tailor-made game plan of, okay, for the next 4 weeks, you're going to follow this schedule to build your strength back up or build your flexibility back up, depending on why you've taken a break, if it's injury and things like that. And then you've got something to work on and to focus on that is specific for you. Because as much as do all the classes, I love all the, just do classes because they're fun. But I also love having that tailor-made, okay, this is the part of my body that I am the weakest in now. So I need to do a lot more focusing on that, but also all these other things. So
yeah,
if it's something that you can do, I highly recommend that. Just I've gotten so much out of doing those one-on-one sessions, and I am definitely a person that likes to have a list of, yes, this is what I'm doing. So there, it's done.
That's a really good idea. And actually, when I had the ankle injury, I actually did that last year with Narelle. I ended up booking a weekly private with her because it meant I was still able to continue pole, because there was obviously so many moves. I couldn't jump off that foot. I had to really make sure it wasn't taking weight. So I had to have a few weeks off initially after I competed. Not recommended. But I had to take a few weeks off and let.
Saying that as we do.
Yes, but because I couldn't really put a lot of pressure on that foot, meant I needed extra spot. So once I was actually onto the pole, I was quite safe, and I'm, you know, been doing pole for such a long time. I'm quite strong, and I know what I can and can't do. But what it meant is sometimes I needed a spot going up onto the pole. But more importantly, I needed a spot for when I came down.
Mm.
So I could actually still practice my handsprings because it's my swinging leg and not my kicking leg, like the jumping leg. But I had to just be really careful coming down. So having a private meant I could actually still train most moves. Mm. It's just I needed that bit more one-on-one support.
Yeah. And also privates are just great in general.
Yeah.
I love doing my weekly privates.
Yes, I've got a lot out of many privates. They're definitely worth it. And especially coming back after a break or dealing with the multitude of things that, you know, you're going on in your life. Sometimes a private is a really good way to help you through all that.
So one of the things that I love about privates is I have a very bad habit of comparing myself, and especially when it comes to practice time and when I'm seeing other people doing things that I can't do. So this is very much I need to re-listen to this episode, take it all in and do it as well. So we're all in this boat together. But I found that by doing a private, because it was just me, there was no excuse of I'm watching other people comparing myself. It was just this is what I can do, and let's smash out a whole lot of things that I, you know, I'm working on, or even if there are things that I can't do. Sometimes it's okay to say that I'm embarrassed to do it in front of other people. Acknowledge it. It's a legitimate feeling, but there are ways around it. So you can do a private where you've got the place to yourself. You can do a studio hire where you've got the room to yourself, so that you're able to just take away that one thing and then you can work on it, and then you can practice it and practice it. And when you're comfortable with it, or if you're still struggling but you're at a point where you're like, this is fine, go back to practice times and do it then. But yeah, it's not a bad feeling to have, but acknowledge it.
I feel like this might be a really good topic for another podcast, because, yeah, I've got some really good stories as well about privates and how they've helped me through all various life and pole journey.
Yeah.
For me. So
episode two.
Yeah, we might leave that one there. So we did touch on it before about being really careful about your goals. So that's really important coming back from a break. And like, I'd probably remember Dano and I are saying this not because we're perfect. We've made all of these mistakes. So please take it from
these mistakes.
Please take it from us. Set realistic goals. Yeah, so do all of the things. And I'm pretty sure there's been an episode on goals before, but set realistic goals, write them down, do all that. And when I say realistic goals, there's not much better than a competition to get you back in the swing of things training. But it depends when you're coming back. Sometimes people, like, they've just come back and it's 6 weeks until a comp and they're like, I'm going to do this comp. The issue there is then they hit a roadblock with their training and suddenly it's like, oh, now I can't do this competition anymore. And they feel like you kind of can start to tend to feel like you're failing or something like that. So set realistic goals. And the ones I like to do after a break are do more habit-based goals. Okay. So because if you've been injured, even if you've had the all clear from the physio, it can take a while to really get you back to full strength and stamina and things like that. So change your goals. Don't go, okay, by the end of this term, I want to be able to do aerial handspring, especially if you've never done it before. Like, make it more like, okay, I'm going to attend 2 classes a week and 1 practice session a week. And in that practice session, I'm going to do 10 straddles, 10 shoulder mounts. And they could be attempts. They don't have to be full things. And I think this would be a really, really good idea for, you know, to start writing down now some of the things that you want to do when you do get back into the studio after this lockdown is end. Write down how you're going to do it, how you're going to tackle it. And it's kind of similar to what you were saying, Dana, about how you have a private and get your instructor to work you through that. So, of course, reach out to us if you want some help, but that could just be structuring that plan back yourself. And then you're setting realistic goals that, you know, if your goal is to do 10 straddles in a practice session, if you're not quite getting up, you're still practicing them.
Yeah. And some really good ideas for these are speak to your studio about the 5x5 posters that have been created, and they are also listed in the new training planner that's been released very soon. So
that looks really good. I'm excited for that.
So it has a list of some of these things that we recommend you doing 5 times each time you practice and things like that. So they're a really good way to start out with creating this list. But also I like to set different lengths of goals. So I will have my at the end of this term goal, but then I'll also break it down to have, okay, in 4 weeks time, what do I want to have achieved, and sort of have like stepping stones towards that end goal, because that end goal can be so daunting. So whether if you're looking at it as a comp aspect, obviously your end goal is the comp, but if you're trying to come back from an injury, okay, my end goal is I want to be able to do an aerial handspring, let's just keep going with that thing. So
I don't know why I chose that as my goal.
We'll keep going.
That must be in my brain somewhere.
By week 4, I would like to get my handspring back. By week 2, I would like to get my Aishas. So break it down into the fundamentals of what you'd learn to build up to that strength. Yeah. And work on those fundamentals and then slowly progress it up. Don't try and smash out that aerial handspring on your first session back.
Yeah, definitely.
Look, some people can do it and that's amazing, but don't recommend.
Yeah, and be flexible with those. I really like that breaking down the time goals, but be flexible with that too. So if you're training for aerial handspring, the first thing you're going to do is go back to your Aishas or your caterpillars even. Yeah, make sure that you're comfortable with that. But that means if your goal by the end of week 2, for example, is to be able to do 10 caterpillar climbs, if you're not there, then don't expect to, like, you know what I mean, that one, that's okay. Look at what you can do to get there in another 2 weeks. But like, that doesn't mean you might have to then extend out your longer term goals. So be flexible with those goals. And that's just something to keep in mind. And don't, and then once again, going back to what we said really at the start, don't criticize yourself.
Yeah, think of it more as a motivation rather than a deadline.
Yeah, that's good. I'm probably guilty with that, of goals of thinking they're a deadline. And then, yeah, scary. And if you do choose to do a competition, and I know a lot of the studios are, you know, we're hoping to get some level of competition up, because there is nothing better in my experience of motivating you than training for a competition. Nothing compares, as much as we would love to have that motivation all the time. It's just not there. That's great. Make sure it's a long enough term goal, flexible competition. Like, once, talk to your instructors, see if it's realistic, but then once again, be flexible. And that may mean putting easier moves in than you would potentially like to put in. You can still compete, and that's where it comes down to what is your actual goal with competing, which is another whole topic. But be flexible with it, and that might mean training, doing more floor work. It might mean shaving out half the, you might want to do a comp and put an Aisha in, but that might mean that you can't put it in, and that's okay. Just
reassess what sort of comp you're doing. So there are so, especially in the pole world now, there are so many different comps. There are ones that are, yes, more trick focused, but then you've got so many that are coming up that are more about the show and your creativity. So maybe start with one of those where it's more weighted to the dance and the floor work and things like that, rather than having to try and smash out hard tricks and do that. So you're still training a routine, you're still working on your strength, your flexibility, your stamina, your endurance, and all of that great stuff. But you're not trying to smash out the hardest tricks possible, because you're more focusing on your dance and performance. And so some comps that are like that, floor play is a floor-based competition only. So you can do floor-based tricks, so you've got your strength and everything in there, but you're not having to worry about doing pole tricks and everything like that. Or you've got pole theatre tends to weight more on the overall show than just the tricks. And there's so many. But have a look at those comps as more of an idea of, rather than trying to get yourself back into the hardest comp possible.
And some of that you might be able to train while you're, and actually I think you were talking about this in your last episode that you were on, Dano, I was listening to it the other day, that you've got a whole lot list of things that you want to try at the moment, but this time is also like a really good time. You may not be able to get into the studio, but you can still practice your floor work.
Yeah.
I know my floor work's got a lot stronger because that's all I can, you know, really practice at the moment. I do have a pole, but it's on a very, my garage roof isn't that high, so I can't do a whole lot on it. So my, you know, I've been doing a lot more of the dance, virtual dance classes that are floor work based. So my floor work is actually stronger because of this break. So choose a comp or choose a routine that's, yeah, not so trick heavy, and you might be able to actually start working on it before you come out of your.
Well, speaking of, break. We've got the online competition coming up anyway, so I think entries close on the 1st of October off the top of my head.
About
somewhere around then. So that's, you know, a month to work on a floor-based routine, or if you do have an apparatus at home, there are apparatus bits as well.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't have to be in the studio. You just need a little bit of floor space. And, you know, some of the best routines could be ones that only are using a meter by meter square space of floor. And it's just how you've managed to work around what you've got. Could make cool routines.
For sure. And actually, it kind of comes back to my little mission of competing while injured. So, but little story there. So I realized I was injured leading up to Ignite last year because I really couldn't put any weight on my foot. But it took about 4 weeks to get diagnosed with the stress fracture officially. And I got the official diagnosis 3 or 4 days out from Ignite heats. So there was nothing that was going to stop me. I was still able to compete in boots. But what had to happen is I actually just had to change a fair bit of my routine. So I kind of like giggle and laugh that I competed in boots with a broken ankle, but I'd actually changed my routine, which was really disheartening at the time because it was a particular move that I'd been really practicing and I didn't have, because of the injury of my leg, I didn't have the leg strength because I wasn't to do that move anymore. But it also forced, so I had to take that out, which I actually think made me, it actually meant it was a really clean routine in the end, but it also forced me to think of different ways of starting the routine because I couldn't walk in, like easy enough I could, but like I couldn't like comfortably walk in boots and I really wanted to wear them. So I had to get really clever with even how I transitioned between the poles. In my case, so it actually definitely led to me having a better routine. So sometimes, using that, I was just thinking that, you know, kind of that sometimes these things happen and it forces you to be creative. So yeah, even if you've only got the size of a yoga mat, that would be really cool to see a floor routine that was just centered on like someone who was really clever in how they've used the mat. Getting a bit off topic again, but it's all related, I think. We said about before not jumping into your aero handsprings or fungies and things like that. I have known people who come to the pole occasionally and they can still aero handspring, but they are freaks. Bless them, but freaks. If you cannot train for 6 months and then come and do an aero handspring, you are in the minority. But with that, it's not just not doing those big crazy things, but when you're coming back after a break, really focus on the basics. And basics, I mean inverts, straddles, shoulder mounts.
Basic hand grips, even like just trying to build up your grip strength again.
Climbing,
even when I'm not coming back from a break, I personally love going back down to the lower levels and repeating those levels just to work on those basics again. Because when you sort of getting into the higher levels, you know, you tend to overlook those basics and they become just a transition. And that can become detrimental. And especially if you then start focusing a lot more on one side than the other. And look, we all kind of fall into this game a little bit of, you know, we can do it on our good side, but our bad side, no thanks. But going down to those lower levels and making sure you're doing things on both sides and making them look as if they are both your good side. I love doing that.
Yeah. And it's very important from a safety point of view and giving your time, your body time to get back into it. But it can be really good for your confidence as well. When you can go, okay, I've had this break, but look at my straddle. It's so much cleaner than it was before I had my break. So that can help. But it's not obviously more likely to get injured if we, you know, jump into these big moves. But even some of your more basic ones, be just really conscious of that from a safety point of view. So it might mean pulling out the safety mat. It might mean asking for a spot if your studio is allowed to spot. So this is one of, you know, I mean, but if you're coming back from a break normally, it might mean asking for a spot a couple times. So asking whether that's another teacher, whether it's your teacher or another student or at practice, getting a friend to spot you so that you've got a bit more confidence, but just in case something goes wrong as well, because you could, especially for those, as you start to get into the more dangerous moves, even just like the caterpillar climbs and shoulder mounting onto the pole and things like that. If you're, these are things I've seen people move, fall out of way too often, back crucifix, it might mean asking for a spot using a mat and taking your time easing yourself back into that one, into those moves. Because it's not just for your confidence, but sometimes we forget how hard moves are.
Or just the pain, you know,
yes.
You time off and you go and do a Superman or a back crucifix and then you forget how much it really hurts.
I'm lucky. I'm someone, if I'm in pain, I grip harder onto the pole.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, if they're in pain, they let go, which if you're in a back crucifix is really bad news. But yeah, now we kind of touched on it before about going back to that. So don't be afraid to go back to a lower level. And that can be really daunting going back to a lower level, especially if you're kind of coming back up to your apparatus after break and you're the only one type thing. It can feel like you miss your classmates. You know, it's a whole new, it might even be a new teacher, which can be really scary. But focus on the positives of going back to that lower level and don't be like, it's not a bad thing. You're only going to end up stronger because of it.
And then you just meet more fizzy fam too. Like,
yeah.
Class.
That leads well into my next one. That wasn't on purpose, but which is to mix up your classes. So I personally have experienced this before where I had a break from pole and I came back and it was a different class. And this was before, like, I was at the studio every single day. And suddenly I felt like I didn't know anyone. And that was really daunting and scary. But to combat, like, firstly, one, give it a few weeks. Those classmates will be your new fizzy fam. That instructor, you'll love them as well. But mix up your classes a bit as far as, like, if you can still get your friends along to a stretch class that you were in a class with before. Mm. And say, hey, let's come along to that. Get them along to a practice. So you're still seeing the classmates that you used to see. And then that way it kind of makes that transition either into the break or out of the break or during, it makes that whole transition a little bit easier. But I think that's really important too when if you are someone like us who do a lot of classes and we kind of said that don't expect to be able to do three classes a night, maybe instead of doing two static, a spin and a hoop class, maybe you do your static and your hoop, for example, and then you put in a stretch class and you put in a dance class. So you can still do your 4 or 5 hours of pole that you're used of, or a studio that you're used of, but throw in a stretch class instead. Yeah, go to a dance class, go to a floor work class and do those type of things that might be a little bit easier on your body as you're transitioning, and then you won't have, you know, then you're less likely to injure yourself or have that burnout a few weeks into coming back into the classes.
Yeah. Or even depending on what your reasoning for having the break is. So if it is something like pregnancy and you're not allowed to do pole or aerials anymore, a lot of those casual classes can be suitable for, you know, while you're pregnant and when you're coming back, and so that you're working your way back into your strength. So a lot of the strength classes can be really good ones for working your way back to being able to do a pole aerial class. And just, you know, that again, speak to your instructor and just let them know what's going on. But it's a really good way to then work it back in and using the other classes that are on offer to help get you back to where you were. Things like if you've got an arm injury, well, there are workout classes that aren't focusing on arms or things like that, or you could just get a substitute sort of exercise to do in a normal workout class instead. While they're doing push-ups, you might do sit-ups or something else and things like that. So those classes can be really good because you're not having to worry about not learning a trick that you can't do. It's still getting that workout in, but just in a different way.
And once again, you're probably going to be better off for it.
Oh, totally.
And especially if you're here, whether you're doing the fitness class, strength class, or whether you're doing a stretchy class or a floor work class, you're learning new skills and you're going to be a better performer because of it.
Yeah. And some of those workout classes, I am sweating and everything a lot more than I am in a normal pole class. Like, it's getting more of a workout there.
And you get to meet more people at your studio.
Especially at the moment, because we've got the Carlton and Fairfield combined. I know Yarraville and Werribee have done the same, but also just when you're at your studio, or if you want to check out some virtual classes that are happening at other studios, you can meet so many more busy fam, and everyone's really nice and, you know, accepting of everyone. So, you know, put yourself out there.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's scary at first, but trust us, we're all. I kind of just want to reiterate that you will love your, even if you can't go with your original instructor, you will love your next instructor as well. One big thing I often make a mistake in is I even did this in the last ice, coming back in there after the last isolation, because I had been teaching, I've got one class I teach, which is on the pole. I've got some of the Carlton Fairfield students who have poles at home and they're more advanced students. So I was doing some pole work. So I kind of came back and it was that first week, and probably compared to my other classmates in elite, I was doing quite well. I could still straddle, I could still shoulder mount, I could still handspring because I'd been keeping up some of those basic skills, luckily. And then the next week I couldn't even straddle. And I just got so down on myself. I just was so criticizing of myself. And this happens at all times in our pole journey, in our journeys. But don't be hard on yourself then, because one thing I find is that when you are excited to get back in, that first couple of weeks you might be able to do stuff and you're like, sweet, I haven't lost that move. And then everything kind of catches up on you, and then suddenly it feels like, I don't know, it feels like you can't do anything again, but you're not going backwards.
No, everyone has those off weeks.
Yeah. But so like just coming back to, I guess it's not going to be like a straight line going up when you come back. You're going to go up and down a little bit. You're probably going to notice it a little bit more than you do the rest of the time. So yeah, just be careful with yourself then. And like, it takes a couple, I think we kind of touched on it before, it takes a couple of weeks, and sometimes the first week you're like, all right, my skin hurts, but it's fine. And then next week you come in and you're covered in bruises. So like climbing is hard. So like, yeah, just be careful of that. I always reckon it's that's about the third week, is just watch out during that time, which is like, and just, yeah, be kind to yourself, which we've kind of mentioned a few times, because anyone that knows me knows that I'm my own worst critic, and talking a bit more to Dano today, I think she's very much the same. I think it might be a trait that a lot of people are nodding their head to right now. So practice lots of self-kindness, and this is something you can start now and encourage you to do now. Don't just wait till you're back in the studio. You know, everything we've been talking about, like, be realistic about your journey. It's not just a physical journey if you've had a physical injury, but it can be a mental journey back into training. Take a while to get back into that motivation and mindset. And I know for me that can be really frustrating when I know I feel like I should be going to a practice, but I don't have the motivation to go. That can be really frustrating. So yeah, be kind to yourself. Do you have any kind of just quickly, anything you do, Dano, or any top tips on how to be kind to yourself?
Yeah, look, you're probably speaking to the wrong person there. I'm very harsh on myself. But some things I do is just grab a buddy. Go and have a practice jam session with a friend, and don't worry about what tricks you're sort of doing, as long as you're sort of there doing something and actively doing things, whether or not it's easy tricks and you're trying new transitions between them. Building that strength back up will help a lot with doing those harder tricks as well. And as we keep saying, pole and aerials is a full body workout, regardless of if you're doing stuff at level one or if you're doing things in elite, it is a full body workout. So as long as you're there doing something, you're going to get results. It may take a little bit longer than if you're, you know, had a full structured session, but make sure that for me, like, I need those sessions where it's not structured, that I don't have to be like, okay, I've got to do this, this, and this today. Otherwise it's a crappy practice session. Like, sometimes you just need to be like, okay, I'm going in because I just want to have a jam with some friends and I want to chill out and be in my happy well, it's, look, it's my home because I'm there probably more often than I am actually at my home when we're not in ISO. But it's nice to just have that session where it's a little bit more chilled out with your friends and you're able to just play around and you're just all sort of trying new things together a little bit as well.
Yeah, take that pressure off yourself.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking with the be kind to yourself, be really a big one for me is body image. And I think after the last period, I did put something in the Fairfield group and the Carlton group because I was so self-conscious, you know, being in front of those mirrors again. I didn't realize how much of an impact it was going to have, you know, and I think we've all, you know, could you think that we've probably eaten too much chocolate and too much Uber Eats and things like that over this time. But firstly, that's okay. We're all that. Like these, it's fine. And even if it is just because you've been injured, you haven't been moving as much, that's okay. But just, I think being aware that you may be a little bit more self-conscious of how you look. I felt it was really daunting being back in front of those mirrors again, and it was something I hadn't really realized, and probably like it's something as when you start at the studio for the first time, you might be like, whoa, these are so overwhelming, but you suddenly ignore them. So my way of dealing with that was one, acknowledging it. So as I said, I put a post up in the group and saying, hey, I'm feeling this way. I'm sure many of you are too. So like, don't feel bad. So me acknowledging it out loud really helped. And that could just be, you know, acknowledging that you're scared to try this move. That could be, you know, because of an injury that you've had. There's still moves that I'm still scared to do at the moment because of the ankle injury I had last year. It kind of, I don't want to swing my leg where it might bang the pole, and that's okay. And so that's just something to talk out loud, talk to your instructor about, say out loud. So one, acknowledge it, and then like kind of use that bit of distraction that Dano kind of mentioned. I definitely did as well. I'm like, okay, let's just get in for a practice. Let's get my friends. I'm not, you know, really worried about what I can and can't do. And let's just do stuff. And let's just focus on what we can do and not what we can't do. And if you can't do something, don't blame it on because of any extra weight you might have put on. Because it's not. It's not because of the chocolate bar that you ate that you shouldn't have. So, yeah, that's, I don't know, that was one I just wanted to mention because it really affected me last time and I was so surprised at how much it affected me.
And with that, do what's right for you. So if it, you know, means doing a private DM to your instructor and be like, hey, this is something I'm having an issue with, 100%, anyone can contact me at any time for anything like that. I will always be there for anyone that needs help with that sort of stuff. But sometimes you don't want to talk to anyone about it, and that is okay too. There are situations where I highly recommend talking about it, but do what feels right for you. And if it's just you need to keep it to yourself but identify it,
yes.
Don't just try and push it down. If you're not in a stage where you can talk to someone else about it, write it down on a piece of paper and put it on the mirror, like your own personal mirror in your bedroom or somewhere that only you can see it, but make sure that you're identifying that issue and that you're doing something productive to help you get through it. Don't just keep jamming it back down because that's not going to help.
Yeah. And I just think that when coming back after a break is when you can feel very vulnerable. So any of those insecurities and vulnerabilities really do come out. So when you realize that you can still do all these things after a few weeks back training. And it doesn't take long, does it? I'm always shocked at like some things take a lot longer to get back to normal, but I'm always shocked at how quickly, whenever I've had to take a break, that it's back a few weeks later. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because muscle memory, hey?
Yeah. But also, I don't know if you feel this as well. Sometimes I feel, especially now instructing, that I'm always doing so much that my body actually needs the break. And then when I take time off, it's amazing what my body can actually do because the muscles aren't fatigued, they're not tired. So sometimes you can actually do better.
Yeah,
But I think out of all of this, the main message is don't lose hope. Again, muscle memory is amazing and it will come back. It might take a little bit more hard work, dedication. As I've mentioned at the start, I altered what side I did some tricks on, and you've mentioned that there are tricks that you are very conscious of hitting your ankle and things like that. So for some things, it might require a workaround, but where there's a will, there's a way. That's the saying. So,
and you're never going to go back. Okay, it might feel like it sometimes, but you're never going back to day one.
No.
Yeah, like you will never go back to day one when you walked into that studio and had never tried any of these things. Because you have tried, you have done it, your muscle memory is there, you know how to do it, you understand the moves. Yeah, it's all there. And sometimes it doesn't take, it can just feel very overwhelming. And you're like, how am I ever going to be able to do, especially that first couple of weeks where maybe, you know, if you've had a really long break and straddling is really hard, it might feel like you'll never be able to do any of these moves. But again, it's just not the case. You will, with the right structure and training and things like that, you'll be able to do all of it and so much more. Again, yeah, just every time I have changed what I do because of an injury or something like that, I'm stronger at the move. I understand the move better. It makes me a better instructor because of it. So I don't actually think I look back on any of the times I've had a break and wish I didn't. Like, it would have been nice not to, you know,
look, especially
be injured.
Injuries, yeah. It's probably a few times that I probably should have taken a bit more of a break than what I did. And that's the thing. If you ignore an injury, it can actually make it worse. So listen to your doctors, take the adequate time off. Otherwise, it will take you a bit longer to actually come back to where you were because you haven't let that injury rest and settle.
And that's me, you know, coming back to our very first point. Talk to your instructors. Talk to your instructors, keep involved in the studio. And that's probably a big takeout of all of this. Whatever you can do, stay involved in the studio. Whether it's during this time, and hopefully listening to this, it means that you are still being involved in your studio. But even if you're not a current student this term, or you're just doing some casual classes or something like that, you'll still be allowed in your Facebook groups. You'll still be allowed to attend events. You've still got Instagram. Make sure that you're following all your friends on Instagram. It can be a bit painful to watch all the Queensland girls and the Salisbury girls and that training at the moment.
But also,
I don't know, I'm in a stage now where I'm like, oh, good on them. I'm so excited for them that they can still train. So if you are having to take a longer break, then make sure that you're still got all of those social connections, because it will just make your transition back into the studio so much easier and exciting. And you mentioned before about some of the studios combining. I'm lucky enough that I was already teaching at both Fairfield and Carlton prior to this, but I do definitely feel like quite a few more of the faces from Fairfield, because I'd only been teaching there for a couple terms before the start of the year. But for people who aren't as busy in the studio, then use this time definitely to know a few more faces. And then when you go to a practice session, you'll be like, oh, hey, I remember you from Zoom and things like that. So even if you're not able to attend the studio during your break, then keeping involved with people will just, it will make it feel like you still know them.
Yeah. And even things like, well, not so much for Melbourne at the moment, but like other areas that are able to have their ignites and things like that, there's always things that we need help with on the night.
Yes.
And there's so many things that you can do, like especially in future years when we're able to have the finals back, we're always asking around for people to assist doing different jobs on the nights and things like that. So there's some great ways to stay involved and, you know, be able to watch everyone else compete and things like that. But also there's so many like virtual catch-ups, and I know we had the trivia night and different other events like that that are happening at the moment. And they're some great ways to just stay involved and see people and meet new people.
I think for me, one of the big things I've found when I've had to have breaks from pole is I realise how important the community is. Sometimes it can kind of almost creep up on you. It may be something you think that, oh yeah, I do pole or I do aerials, but you don't realise how much the community are a part of your life until suddenly you're not seeing them every day or every week. So
Little things like, just because we all come to one studio together, it doesn't mean that that's the only time you have to see them. Like, you know, ones that I find interesting of like that shift from they're your fizzy fam to the, your studio family. And then, no, they're actually my mates. Like, 100% they're my friends and they're my mates. So do things outside of the studio with them too. Go get a coffee after class, or, you know, go have dinner after class, especially when we're allowed to again, you know, support local and all that fun stuff as well. But catch up and just, you know, spend a bit of time getting to know each other outside of Pole. And, you know, I jokingly said that I don't really know myself outside of the studio because it's where I essentially live. But, you know, having that time away from the studio and getting to know each other on a more personal level, it brings you closer together as a family too.
Yeah, 100%. The Carlton Fairfield crew, they know they're my family. Like, they are literally my family. So, yeah, no, they're very, very special. All of Fizzy Pole is very special, of course. Or maybe even if you're not a Fizzy Pole, you've got your own pole family, and I'm sure you can relate to all of that. So, yeah, just like don't think that you having to have a break means the end of your journey.
No. And I think it is important to remember that we're all going through this ISO together, and in some ways it's actually a positive thing. So, for me, certainly, it means that, okay, especially in stage four, this is the first time that I can't touch a pole. I've at least been able to go to a studio prior to this. And so this is the first time I'm thinking of, okay, what else can I do to keep up my training and things like that, so that the next time I'm injured, well, I've already got all this knowledge of what I can do at home that, you know, I can't do on a pole and things like that. So in some ways, it's preparing us for injuries and things like that, and finding alternative ways to be involved as a community. Even in the 2.5 weeks that we had back at the studio, we still had the online classes running, which was great because it meant that people could still join in that weren't able to get to the studio that night and things like that. So from this, you know, crazy times, there are positives at the end of the day.
For sure. Yeah, and I think, once again, I think that could be a whole other podcast, because I definitely think I know that I've become a better instructor because of finding ways of teaching pole moves virtually over Zoom is very different than just like showing someone in class, because I can show them at home, but it's 2D, so it's not quite the same, or end up having to do it four times from all different angles. So it made me a better instructor running all the virtual classes, thinking of, okay, how do we do these? How do we work on this strength move without actually being able to touch the pole in my case, which is what I do.
Yes, I've currently been using a foam roller as my pole to demonstrate things, and it, you know, there's challenges, but it's also very funny when things don't quite go right. So positives.
I think we've kind of covered everything. Probably like just recap
a lot.
Sorry, we're both apparently very talkative people. Who knew? But yeah, just so overall, talk to your instructor if you've had to have a break, especially if you're kind of taking a break by yourself rather than this whole isolation time. Talk to your instructor, keep involved in the community, but also the studio as much as you can. So see what other classes you can do. Ask, find out who's instructing the Fizzy Fit and see if you can still come along and just avoid a shoulder, you know, and take out the push-ups and stuff like that. And us as instructors I actually love doing that type of thing. I love working out alternatives for people. So you'll probably make my day if you ask me. But yeah, so still try to come to as many classes as you can, even though they might be a bit different, and look at the positives out of that. Write down your goals before you get back into the studio. Take some time to reflect and write them down now. And just remember that it'll be okay. Even if you're in a different class, a different set of instructor, different students, even a different studio, you might have to move studios and it'll be okay. You'll get there.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's all about how you look at it. And if you go into it with a negative attitude, that's all you're going to get out of it. It'll just be negative. So look on the positives and do what works for you. Be honest with yourself and yeah, just have fun. At the end of the day, we do this because we love it and we enjoy it and it's fun. So just remember that it's not a competition of who can do the skill first and who's back from, you know, ISO training first. It's all about having fun and just enjoying your time and enjoying your life.
Yeah, that's what I love about physipole. It is fun. It's not super serious. It's not too serious a lot of the time and things like that. It is just about having fun. Make sure you're doing it that.
So I think we've pretty much covered everything that we wanted to really cover and then some. So if you managed to make your way through all of this, I think this is actually going to be quite a long chat, but it's definitely important information to get out there. So yes, congratulations if you made it through all of this. Well done. And yeah, hopefully we will speak to you again soon and hopefully Cass and I can jump back on together and we sort of thought about a few different topic ideas as we're going today.
Yeah.
We will probably both be back on pretty soon.
Yeah. And feel free to message, I know for me, and I think you've said the same thing, feel free to message us on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that if you want to talk about anything we've talked about more, because yeah, we've no matter what it is, probably except for the pregnancy one, I've been there, done that. So and
yeah,
even
I
then
I've done that one yet, but, you know,
but I can find someone who's been there and done that. So feel free to message us and chat to us about anything. All right, thanks Dano.
Thank you, speak to you soon.
Bye.
Let's get physical.